better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
We've, of course, been talking about the Razorback football coaching search. There was a lot of smoke yesterday, but no fire. No coach has been hired. In fact, I don't know if they're anywhere close to hiring a coach, but we still know that it was a frenzy yesterday. And it's funny, Tommy, because when we were talking about how the flight tracking and everything is just strict entertainment.
Right.
And, you know, it's not like Big J journalism. It's just entertainment. There are some people that are upset, and Channing apparently is not happy with me and saying that I'm saying that I was trying to be a big time journalist in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And I just saw that other people are doing it better than what I am. And that's why I'm saying it's entertainment, even though I'm serious about it. I'm just saying that it's entertainment.
What is a big time journalist?
I don't know. I don't know, because I don't see anybody else doing anything. So maybe
it's fun.
Yeah, I've had people it's only fun.
Aren't you going to make him stop doing that? I said, no.
It's fun.
And I've had people say, why aren't you doing it with him? Like, don't want to.
You actually have a life. You actually have things to do during the day. Yeah. Yeah. But he says that he doesn't need this guy Channing, though. He says he doesn't need the approval of someone riding off the coattail of his co-host and his past show host with Ruskin to let him know what's going on.
You got that part right. Yeah.
Can't argue that logic. Yeah. So
yeah. I got big coattails over here. I mean, just climb on over.
Yeah, I just need your money now, and we'll be able to get to that.
I'll carry you right back to that Broadcaster of the Year watch list. Or
yeah, the watch list, which apparently, I mean, it's amazing.
Did you make it? Is the voting going on now?
I think so. But
are you on the ballot?
I'm not.
Tells you how much I know about it.
Yeah. I didn't know it. Honestly,
I don't even have a vote.
Honestly, the only reason I knew it existed and that their list was out there is because Andrew Hutchinson of Hogbeat.com tweeted out. He's like, hey, I made the sports writer list. I was like, oh, yep. I'm going to click the NC.
Who's on it? I saw that tweet, so I know Bob and
Bob Holt, Andrew Tom. And Tom Murphy, and then Jeremy Muck from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Well, that'd be a tough choice right there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know. Andrew does some great work.
He does. He does.
Tom's our guy. I guess we just have to be loyal and go with Tom. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Andrew because he does great work, but Tom's on the show.
He's loyalty, man.
Yeah.
We got to stay loyal to our people. So,
who's on the broadcasters list?
Let's see here. We got Chuck Barrett.
What's he ever done?
We got some guy, I can't pronounce his last name. Phil Elson.
Hack.
Steve Sullivan.
Who's he?
I think he's a guy on Little Rock. Yeah.
I don't know. You should be on it. I mean, you're the most famous guy on that list. Barrett, Elson, Sullivan.
Yeah, Chuck doesn't even have Twitter. So how can he be on that list? He's not even on social media. How can he be on that list now?
But hey, you have to choose between those guys.
I guess we got to, listen, and I love Chuck and I love Steve and, you know, but I think we got to go with our boy Phil on that one.
You know.
Yeah. Again, loyalties. Loyalties got to go. There you go. But yeah, I guess the watch list, there was no press release coming out. I didn't get to put anything out about me being the semifinalist or finalist. Yeah, honorable mentions
finished
on there.
Finished fifth again this year.
Yeah, maybe next year. If
well, how do you know you finished fifth?
Well, here's the problem, Tom. Here's the problem. The voting happened before my flight tracking came into play.
Right.
And if they would have been able to see all the flight tracking I've been doing,
that'd have sealed it.
That would have been able to put me in the running. So, but maybe next year.
Maybe when Chuck wins it this year, or Phil. Or Sully, they'll just say, you know, I don't really deserve this honor. They'll hand it over to you. Here's the man that really deserves it.
Yeah.
Flight tracker extraordinaire, John Neighbors.
Has anybody ever given their Oscar to somebody else?
Or their Heisman.
Or anything like that? I don't know. Maddie, has there been somebody?
Yes. Ving Rhames won an Oscar and gave it to
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon.
That's right. Yep. Okay. So if one of these, the one time in history of awards, if somebody ever wants to give it to me, I'll gladly take it off your hands. I'll put it in my trophy case that I have at home with all my T-ball trophies.
According to your Twitter there, since you're on my coattails, I ought to get part of the credit.
You ought to get it. Yeah. You ought to get at least something, at least your name on the trophy, too.
Exactly. Probably on the bottom side where it sits on the
mantle.
We
know the trophy is actually modeled after Tommy Kraft. It's just a statue of Tommy. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you
with
serious?
You, with you holding a microphone.
Clark, are you serious?
Just as serious as I am about the flight tracking.
Clark, are you serious?
Just as serious as I am about the flight tracking there. So, but,
are you serious,
we'll have to. Well, Tom Murphy's going to be joining us later, so we'll have to give him a shout-out and make sure he gets some recognition there. So we'll see. We'll see who wins the Arkansas Sports Writer and Broadcaster of the Year there.
Yeah.
We have a few text messages coming on the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Comes from the 479. Don't have a name to it, but he says, is Gus Malzahn out of the picture? I don't think Gus Malzahn was ever in the picture this time around.
He wasn't even on the edge of the picture. I think he was maybe had his head stuck in the side until Saturday. If he'd have lost and gotten, because I think if he'd have lost and lost badly, the heat might have been on. I mean, the weird things are happening in this league. I mean, did you see changes coming at Missouri and Ole Miss? I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Auburn would have lost by four touchdowns or something to Alabama, I'm not going to rule out that they wouldn't have fired him.
Mm-mm. That would have been another 7-5 year.
And if he's sitting there with no job, you can't say he's not in the picture. But, I mean, when he won, I think that takes him out for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he ever wanted this job. It would have just all had to line up where Arkansas had an opening and he didn't have a job.
Yeah.
And nobody else wanted to hire him.
Yeah. There had to just be the perfect timing, the perfect right. storm together. But
Arkansas and Gus missed their window with each other, you know, way back when. So,
yeah. So people
should have hired him when they hired Petrino. Well, instead of Beal or instead of Petrino.
Well, Petrino, though, he's never been a head coach. He was still the OC at Tulsa.
You think it'd have worked out?
No, I'm not saying it couldn't have. But to me, I would have rather had him after the Bobby Petrino fiasco when he had that 1 year at Arkansas State. Mm-hmm. He could have come. But that's neither here nor there because I just don't see
they've
him.
They've missed a couple of chances.
And I don't see – honestly, I'm shocked that he's been at Auburn as long as he has.
And they were never going to hire a guy who was the sitting head coach at A-State.
No, that was never going to happen. But, you know, there's – with Gus Malzahn, since the Arkansas connection, it's always going to be strong. And I went on a show in Louisiana, and that was one of the first questions they asked me was, you know, what about Gus Malzahn? I'm like, it's almost like the tale as old as time that if an Arkansas coaching job is open, mm-hmm. Gus Malzahn's name has to be connected.
Right.
But I think the ship has sailed, and I think that if I had to put money on it, I don't think Gus Malzahn's ever going to coach at Arkansas. Ever.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's they had their opportunities, but they didn't want him.
I had a friend of mine who lives out of state describe Gus Malzahn as he would be your Moby Dick. It would sink the ship in the end. You think it's going to make everything right, but then in the end, it'd be probably the thing that would be swallow you up. Yeah, you know, you'd think it would get you to the glory land, and I'm not sure how it would work out. I personally, I've known the guy. I can't remember a day not knowing him because I've lived in Fort Smith. He grew up in Fort Smith. We went to he's much older than me.
He's got a few years on you.
He got a few years on me. But we went to the same school. I was in grade school when he's in high school, and I've known the family for a long time. I hope he does well. I always wish him success other than when he plays Arkansas. So, I mean, I root for him. But I don't think that's ever going to work out here.
No.
And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's harder to win at home than it is to go somewhere else and win. And it's just, let's just be honest, folks. It's easier to win at Auburn when you're 2 hours from Atlanta or whatever it is. Now, it's more difficult because you're in the shadow of the Crimson Tide program. But as far as getting recruits and getting 4- and 5-star players to win with, it's much easier at Auburn than it is here.
And it's just unfortunate because Gus Malzahn, and since we're talking about him, he's just going to be added to the long list of coaches that are from Arkansas that never coach at Arkansas.
Right.
And I think that's also,
when Tuberville would be another one. Yeah, would be another one.
Jimmy Johnson would be another one. Have the connections there.
He wasn't from Arkansas, but played in Arkansas.
Had the Arkansas connection there and wanted the job, as we all know, as history has told us. But and there's been an odd, like Charlie Strong had the connection. You know, he was originally from Arkansas too. And I'm not saying that he was ever up for the job, but my point is that there's been a lot of coaches that have either been from the state or went to the university that ended up being very successful, but never got the opportunity. And since we're in a coaching search right now for the Razorback football program, it's just always, it's always annoying, I know, for a lot of people when they look back at history, and it's always going to be the hindsight factor. But how many coaches that either wanted this job or felt like that you had a good chance at them because of the connections that they had with Arkansas, either time you didn't pursue them. You didn't want them. And then they ended up having a lot more success than what your option actually what you went along with. You know, if it's the if you want to talk about the Gus Malzahn thing, Gus Malzahn, he wanted the job after that job at A-State, and you went with Brett Bielema instead. And you saw that obviously it did not work out for you. And of course, we know the Jimmy Johnson angle, that that just didn't work out for you. So for Tommy Tuberville, you could say the same thing. He could have been the guy instead of Houston Nutt.
But in both those cases, when you didn't go with Jimmy Johnson and you went with Ken Hatfield was a proven head coach, you know, that point.
Yeah.
You went with Brett Bielema. Guy won three Big Ten titles, and you didn't go with Gus. I mean, each call, it didn't work out, but the call by the AD in each moment, Broyles and Jeff Long, was, you know, on paper, the right call.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it wasn't like it was just, like, I mean, so obvious and you completely, totally went with
You went with the guy on the last deal that had three Big Ten titles. I mean, Bielema should have worked, and then it didn't. So, I mean, Ken Hatfield worked here. Jimmy Johnson just worked better at Miami. I mean, Ken Hatfield won back-to-back Southwest Conference titles here, back-to-back 10-win season. I mean, it's not like Ken Hatfield was an abysmal failure at Arkansas.
Yeah.
So
no, and I think people understand that. And I mean, it was
some of you millennials may not.
Well, right, yeah, because all you'll see is at the end of the day, you'll go to the Wikipedia page of Ken Hatfield and Jimmy Johnson and say, all right, who's the better one? But no, at the time, you always have to look at it in the frame of time that it was in.
But why did it work better for Jimmy? Because he was in Miami, and Florida has a better selection of 4- and 5-star athletes, you know.
But don't you think that
I think geography always plays a big factor in, and that's why it's always a challenge at Arkansas.
But don't you think that if he would have come to Arkansas, I'm not saying he would have had the Miami success, but he would have had high-level success at Arkansas in the Southwest Conference back then? I mean, I don't see any reason why.
Would have been better than Hatfield?
I think so.
You know,
but I didn't. How do you know? You know, it's not like we have the recruiting rankings we can go back and look at from the mid '80s to late '80s there. But no, that's a factor that plays into it, and it all goes back to my point of the Razorback football coaching search. Is that for Razorback fans, it's almost like you feel like that this wrong decision is always going to be made, and even though it may seem like it's good on the surface, because you brought up the Brett Bielema one, which is a fantastic example, because that at the time, even though some people weren't totally on board with it, you couldn't deny, like, dude, this guy has a resume at a Power 5 conference. He had won the Big Ten 3 years in a row.
Rose Bowl.
It made sense.
Yeah.
Made complete and total sense, especially after the disaster, embarrassing season of the John L. Smith era. You're like, the fact that we were able to get this after having this embarrassment from this past year was great, and it didn't work out. And, you know, it's the same thing. I know that Houston Nutt had some success too, but you look at what Tommy Tuberville was able to do at Auburn, you could definitely make the argument he had more success at Auburn than Houston Nutt did at Arkansas. But, you know, could he have done that at Arkansas? Could he have had the same success?
Well, there's another name right there.
Yeah.
Tommy Tuberville. You hired another similar to Jimmy Johnson
and Ken Hatfield.
And Ken Hatfield, because you hired Houston Nutt over Tuberville. Now, Jimmy Johnson and Ken Hatfield were both players on the 64 team, but Tuberville from the state of Arkansas down around Fordyce, and Houston Nutt played at Arkansas for part of his career before going to Oklahoma State, and from Arkansas as well, got the job, as we all know, and started in 98, and there was the famous headline that was in the paper that Tuberville was getting the job. So, you know, there was one choice where they went with one guy over the other from the state. So there's another interesting angle.
Yeah, it seems like every single year, even though you still had like the Hatfield
Tuberville
and
went Nutt on to Auburn, had tremendous success, probably got the shaft on a national title.
Yeah, went undefeated. I think it was in 04, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, that's another example.
Beat Bama six years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, that's not saying that, you know, it was an epic failure going with Houston Nutt. It just makes you wonder what could have been, what he could have done at Arkansas. Hey, are you looking for a Cadillac, Chevrolet, or Nissan vehicle? Then look no further than Orr Auto Park at 6500 Auto Park Drive in Fort Smith. The Orr Auto Park staff will work with you to put you behind the wheel of the Cadillac, Chevrolet, and Nissan vehicle you want at a very affordable price. And as a leading Cadillac, Chevrolet, and Nissan dealer, Orr Auto Park also has a wide variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for you to choose from. So visit orrautopark.com to browse their selection to get pre-approved today, where you can score more with Orr. If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877-377-6963. This text message has come from Michael in Bentonville. It says, wins at one school doesn't always translate to wins at another school. Stars have to align for things miraculous to happen. Some coaches can be above that, like Saban or Urban Meyer, but I don't know that Malzahn would be one of those guys. And see, and that's what we're talking about, Michael, is that just because a coach has a lot of success at one school doesn't mean it's going to go to another school. And you see that happen pretty often. I mean, Butch Jones was pretty successful at Cincinnati. He goes to Tennessee, and he has, I know, a little bit of success, but it ended up being a failure. Bobby Petrino had success at Louisville, and he also had success at Arkansas. So some coaches can have it. And that's what makes this so difficult about this coaching search and why Hunter Yurcheck, I am not jealous at all of the decision and the job that he has to do. Because it is easy. Any of us can go on a Wikipedia page, look at wins and losses and seasons, and say, well, this guy's pretty good. Let's just hire him based on the success he had at a different school. There's so much more to it. You can't do it that way. You have to vet. You have to interview. You have to know what they're looking at. You have to know what type of staff they're wanting to work with. You have to do background checks. You have to do so many things for these coaches that it's more than just seeing about their wins and losses at the previous stop. Because, again, that's when you had the Brett Bielema thing happen. That would have been a no-brainer if you just looked at the wins and losses. But it always makes me wonder. We'll never know. But it always makes me wonder how much vetting did Jeff Long and everybody do for Brett Bielema to say that this guy will for sure work out. Again, they may have done their due diligence. They may have been fine. But it just makes you wonder, did they just go about the fact that, hey, he had a resume to go along with it and made it work out? I don't know. But it just always makes me wonder.
Well, I mean, Clay was bringing up some things yesterday I thought were very interesting. You think, you know, when you're on these interviews and you're in a position like Hunter Yurcheck, you're asking questions like, how do you handle internal discipline? You know, and you go through that and you spend, you know, maybe hours talking about how you as the head coach would handle internal discipline. You know, you put on the tape and you show how offensive line play is coached and what the expectation is. You know, you talk, you know, it's not just the things about who would be your defensive coordinator, but you want to get down into the nitty gritty and talk about, you know, the nuts and bolts of what's going on here. And that's what Hunter Yurcheck's got to get into, because you're going to look into every nook and cranny. You're going to ask every question because you're getting ready to make a $20 million investment in somebody.
Yes.
You're going to pay somebody, well, it's probably going to be north of that, because you're probably going to pay somebody $4 million plus dollars a year, and it's likely going to be a $6 million arrangement. So $22, $25 million, maybe a retention bonus, because that's what was in Chad Morris's deal. Buyout's probably going to be 70, 75%. It may be 100% for the first 3 years. I kind of expect that in this next deal. First 3 years, 100%. Probably 70% won't cut it in this next deal.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go up. They're going to have to up the ante because of what happened. Chad Morris got fired in 2 years. Probably going to get all their money the first two or three seasons. Maybe even a higher percentage into four. May not drop to like 80% into four. I'll be interested to see what they have to negotiate there. Arkansas, to get a name that's going to excite the fan base, they've got hat in hand a little bit here, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to go get a, you know, a Lane Kiffin or someone of that caliber, because you've kind of set the bar with all the light tracking and all the names thrown out there, yeah, and all this stuff, that you come in below that name, well, the fans are going to go, hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to up the ante a little bit on the guarantee for the first 2 to 3 seasons. 70% was what was Chad Morris's contract. He didn't have the leverage that a Lane Kiffin would have. So you're talking about a, let's just call it $25 million investment. You're going to ask a lot of questions. You're going to get into a lot of detail. And that's why it's going to take a lot of hours. And you're not going to do it, in all likelihood, over one day or one half day, sitting in a hangar on a plane. Can you think about that? You're doing an interview, a complete formal interview in a plane. I don't know, have you ever been on a private plane?
I went inside one once when it was on the landing or the runway, but I did not ever actually find one.
They're not roomy.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
If you're claustrophobic, it's not the place you'd want to conduct an interview of that nature. Now, a lot of times these FBOs will have conference rooms, meeting rooms you can go meet in.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what their range, but that's not the place you'd want to spend 8 hours with somebody.
I wouldn't.
And a lot of times these coaches, particularly if they're coaching a game this way, they don't have 8 hours. You know, so if you're after a coach that's in a conference championship game, this is going to have to be broken up into a couple of, probably a couple sessions.
Yeah.
Maybe even video conference. I mean, because that's, video conference is easier than ever. It's called FaceTime, you know. So, I mean, it's just, that's the way this thing's got to go anymore.
Yeah.
Deep dives. And that's why doing a lot of your vetting ahead of time and having people like John Fagg around you to do the research is so important.
And another factor on top of that too, Tommy, is that as far as what people, you know, when it comes to the coaching search and they want this name or that name, people don't need to freak out about the process of it all. They need to have a criticism, if any criticism that they may have, of the actual hire itself. And this is extremely important. I know it's easy to get carried away, and I know it's easy to start freaking out if it's, you feel like the timing is going too long, it's taking too long, this must be an epic failure, we're screwing this up. Don't worry about the process. You know, trust the process, if you will, using the old adage. Trust the process. And now when the hire is made and when the name is signed on the dotted line, then you can either freak out because you hate the hire or you can celebrate because you love the hire. But what's going on right now and will over, I'm sure, the next few days is something that nobody needs to lose their ever-loving minds over. Wait until the coach is actually named, and then once that happens, you can give your own thoughts and opinions on it and have your own criticisms for it.
You know, going through this on much smaller scales, you know, I hired you at one point. I've been through, you talk to people, you have interviews, and you go talk to other people, and you interview your first round of all your candidates, and then the folks you want to talk to, you go back to again. And I would imagine there's going to be three different meetings, you know, with the person you end up with. You got your initial face-to-face, then the person you want to hire, you're going to come back and probably ask more questions, and then there's going to be the third and final one where you present a contract.
Yeah.
And then you put them on the plane with you, and you bring them back.
And guess when people will find out, when that news will break on who it is?
Well, when they have inform their employer that they are leaving to become the head coach at the University of Arkansas, when they've met with their team and all of the, you know, all the processes that are professional have to happen. I mean, you're hiring a professional. You wouldn't want someone to leave their post without informing their employer, giving notice, and meeting with their team. I mean,
that's just the way it's done.
Right. You wouldn't want to hire someone, if you're running a business out there, you wouldn't want to hire a new employee and say, hey, now don't give your current employer notice. Don't tell them you're leaving. Just show up here Monday. Let them
find out that way.
They'll find out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's not professional.
No. And I don't know if you'd want a coach that would do that.
And if you would hire someone that would be willing to do that, that's not what you want.
No, not at all. Wait, you're telling me that it won't be breaking news whenever the flights are being tracked? You're telling me that people won't hear the news whenever I get the right tail number on the right plane?
My opinion, that's not how it's worked in the past.
And it's never going to work that way.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
A few people calling and texting into the Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. This one comes from the 870. He says, if you have time, can you discuss what Kiffin might bring to the table as far as staff connections and recruiting? Well, you know, you never know exactly as far as staff goes how many people we're going to bring from Florida Atlantic if he ended up getting the job. But I do know, and just based on the only evidence that we have, is that when he was at Tennessee and when he was at USC, the recruiting was really good. He got a lot of great players in.
Lance Thompson's the name you need to know on his staff as far as recruiting. One of the best recruiters in the country. He's been on his staff. A name that you keep an eye on because you assume he would come with Lane. If Lane is the choice, that's the name you've got to have because he has been one of the top recruiters in the country. And, you know, you definitely want him with Lane Kiffin if he comes to Arkansas because of his recruiting ability.
Yeah, exactly. And he can recruit, but as far as the other things go along with it, I'm not totally sure And I, how much would you say it would cost to get Kiffin? I mean, would you think he'd do $4 million a year? If they decide to go that route?
And I don't have any reason to... I'm saying $4 million, $4 to $4.5 million, and I don't have anything to back that up other than I've just... That's the number I've kind of reached around and grabbed.
That's kind of where I'm at, too. Because it would be a more of a... You'd have to pay more because Chad Morris is only making $3.5 million a year. So you'd have to...
Kiffin, I think, is more... It's obviously more established than...
Much more.
Than Lane Kiffin's far more established than Chad Morris.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If they ended up hiring Lane Kiffin, again, just throwing it out there, but if they ended up hiring him and it was like for $5 million a year, I think you got screwed in that deal. I think that would be too much money for Lane Kiffin just because, you know, that's kind of the risk.
Does Kiffin have enough cowboy in him to be one of these first coaches? Is he a Sexton guy? I'm not sure.
I just assume everybody's a Sexton guy, but I don't know for sure, no.
Does he have enough cowboy in him? Because he kind of comes across as this guy. All right, I'll work for a base of four, but if I win this many games, I get five. I get a bonus. If I win eight, I get more of a bonus if I win 10. Because I think fans and I think Hunter Yurcheck would obviously be all in on that, you know?
Hey, if you get the results to go along with it, yeah.
My contract has some kickers based on results. I think he's got enough cowboy in him to do that.
I do, too. I think he's set that way.
That's just outside looking in, but, well, wouldn't that be fun? I don't think that'll happen because Arkansas is not going to be the school that redefines how contracts are written. But, boy, wouldn't that be fun to see a coach come here and do that?
Oh, imagine if they set the precedent. Like, I mean, all the other schools around the country would just be like, we want that.
But where I'm going with this is you'd be willing to pay $5 million to a coach that could win nine.
Yeah. Sign me up.
All right, we're going to pay you four, but if you win nine, you get five.
Great.
You win 12, you get six.
Excellent. You win any more than that, you get seven.
I'm just saying, he might have enough cowboy in him to do that.
Well.
I don't know if I'm describing that right. It just sounds like a good term. Sounds fun. He got enough cowboy in him. Why not?
I'd be all down for it. I'd be all for it. If they had success, based incentives,
agents would get in the way of that. But
I'm sure they would because that's just what it all has. But
he just seems like he's got enough, you know, enough cowboy. Of that moxie. Yeah. I'm going to come up with a different word. But
I don't know. Having cowboy in him, I was wondering if you're going to say like something like a Jerry Jones or something like
something.
That.
Something. Just cowboy, enough then, yeah. Confidence.
Yeah.
He's got enough confidence in himself that, all right. And honestly, what can you not do in Northwest Arkansas on $4 million that you need an extra million at five to do? I mean, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
That would be awesome. And if you want
to pay a coach $5 million, fine, I'll pay you five, win nine games.
And if that, again, I'm not saying it's happened, I don't think it'll happen, but if it did happen, where that contract got signed with Lane Kiffin, I would be all on board with that because I'm like, okay, he understands performance-based. Yeah. He wants to get paid and get rewarded for his performance.
I don't think any coach, Lane Kiffin or otherwise, will make that arrangement. I kind of think Hunter Yurcheck would float that idea out there because he's talked about losing games ought to be cause for being fired. Now, I think that's red meat he feeds to the fans. He knows he can't change the marketplace. The market is why the market is just so messed up right now with coaches' contracts.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean,
Chad Morris is going to get $10.1 million
to not coach,
and he only won four games. I mean, it's just insane.
It's not even my money, and it makes me sick to my stomach.
I mean, there ought to be a clause in the contract. Hey, if you only win four games in 2 years, we can fire you and give you $500,000 just to get the heck out of here.
Yeah. And if there's any athletic director that's going to be somebody that wants to push that thing as far as performance-based incentives, especially big ones like that when it comes to winning in the contract, Hunter Yurcheck would be that guy because he has said, as we have coined and have played many times,
but
not winning should be a fireable cause.
As we said earlier in the show, based on the fact you just fired a coach less than 2 years into the job, I won't be surprised if this next deal doesn't have a 100% guarantee the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe into the third year. So I think the buyout on this deal could be structured differently in favor of the coach based on the fact that you just fired a coach less than 2 years. So if you're going to hire a name, they're going to want some guarantees. And you may have a 100% guarantee for the first 2 to 3 years. And then it comes down. I'm just purely guessing on that. But I know this. If I was negotiating on that coach's behalf, that'd be where I'd start.
And I'd be okay with that.
I'd probably start with 110% and then we'll negotiate back to 100.
No, and I'd be okay with that if it's the right guy.
Well,
I'd be down for that if it's the right guy. But then if you're at the end of the 2 years, you're still Chad Morrising in the whole thing. Then
buyouts come down after time anyway. But I think the next coach is going to get $4 to $5 million over a 6 year term. So you're talking about $25 to $30 million, $20 to $25 million. You know, if it's $4 million, let's just say it's $4 million 6 years, you're talking $24 million, probably some retention bonuses in there and academic bonuses, bowl bonus. Let's just call it $25 million. It's going to be probably closer to 25 to 30 than it is 20 to 25, depending on who you hire. But I'm telling you, those first couple of years are going to be closer to 100% guaranteed, would be my guess. Just based on what we've seen.
Yeah, and based on the market and the contract and how it all works.
I mean, just based on Arkansas hadn't built a lot of trust with the coaching pool out there. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, just the way that this game is, you can't have that
you're,
way.
You're hiring your sixth coach in 14 years. Now, not all of that is Arkansas's fault. One of those was Houston Nutt, who was here 10 years. Bobby Petrino got himself fired. John L. Smith was a one-year deal. Brett Bielema was here 5 and didn't work out. Chad Morris fired himself. I mean, just didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it's the sixth coach in 14 seasons.
But as far as when it goes to coaching circles, though, and because I understand what you're getting at, but also nobody is going to disagree with any of the decisions that Arkansas made when it came to their coaches and their fates. At least people of logic and reason. No one's going to say that they should not have fired Bobby Petrino. No one's going to say they should not have fired Brett Bielema. No one's going to say they should not have fired Chad Morris. Now, I know it's always about hindsight. And you look back
in hindsight, you might say because of the AD situation and the lack of a true AD on post, Bielema should have stayed another year.
Right.
Not that Bielema's performance merited another year, but because of the lack of stability with athletic department leadership, you'd have been better off with Bielema one more year.
And that's what I'm saying, is just based strictly off performance. Yeah. Nobody at the end of the, except for just people who were friends with Brett Bielema, but no one at the end of Brett Bielema era when they decided to fire him said, what an awful, terrible, horrible decision by Arkansas. He was a good coach that had it going. No one said that. No one said that. And no, like when Chad Morris got fired, I did not hear one peep out of anybody saying that how Arkansas made a terrible decision in firing Chad Morris after Western Kentucky.
Should have kept either Long or Bielema one more year in hindsight.
Yeah. Again, hindsight is everything when it comes to this whole coaching search. Right. Hopefully hindsight doesn't continue to work out when it comes to this coaching search later down the road. It's a Toyota Tuesday here on the Morning Rush. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the Go Anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. And let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Terry is in Hackett. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, I was just looking at, you know, with Notre Dame on the schedule next year, we're all talking about how much to pay someone and Lane Kiffin and all that. Let's take each name that we're talking about or that we think about and then pit them against the schedule we have next year. Can we win more than 3 games? I mean, should we be really looking towards that? Or, I just want your opinion on that.
Yeah, well, and appreciate the phone call, Terry. I think
another reason I say 100% guarantee for the first couple of 3 years.
And I think that it's interesting, too, because next season, I'm not saying you need to hire a coach based on what you have to do next season. Because next season, no matter what happens, the coach will stay. The coach will get another year. But if you're truly just looking at the schedule, which is a brutal one next year, that's unfortunate because Arkansas's past 2 seasons, their schedule has been about as favorable as you can ask in this conference and in this division. I mean, seriously, your 2 East opponents that were rotating was Kentucky and Vanderbilt, or Vanderbilt and Kentucky, respectively. You didn't have one Power 5 team on your non-conference schedule, and it's just incredible you still went 2-10. But if you're looking at next year...
And Missouri hadn't been great.
No, yeah. You didn't have that. Neither is Ole Miss. You still lost to them. I mean, there were some games you should have won. But either way, if you look at next year's schedule, you start with Nevada, then, of course, you go to Notre Dame, to Mississippi State. You have A&M, then Charleston Southern, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, Auburn, Ole Miss, Louisiana, Monroe, and Missouri. We don't know who the coach is going to be, but I will say that if the coach can just win the games against Nevada, against Charleston Southern, against ULM, and one SEC game, find a way to go 4-8, 1-7 in conference, whoever that coach is, good job.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's just where you're at, unfortunately. 4-8 next year would be phenomenal. No matter how you did it, 4-8 would be phenomenal. So the coach, though, whoever it is not going to have to worry about, though, coming in and say, all right, if you don't win four, you're gone, buddy. You are not in that position. Not in that position
you
at all.
You just can't go 0-12.
Just can't go 0-12. But we continue to say it can't get any worse, but yet somehow it always does for Arkansas football right now. But either way, that's kind of what I'd be looking at for next season. Again, it's not how it's going to be based upon. He's not going to be based whoever the coach is as far as somebody that's having to get it done in year one. And you shouldn't hire a coach based on what they can do in year one. But still, next year's schedule is going to be a tough one as well. Because, you know, Tennessee's going to be a good team. You welcome him in Fayetteville. On the road to Notre Dame, still going to have LSU, still going to have Alabama, still going to have Auburn, still going
to
have A&M. And
then the following year, you go to Texas.
Or Texas comes here.
Yeah, Texas comes here, pardon me. Texas
but still,
comes here.
I think you, pick up Florida that year? Yeah. I think you go on the road to Florida?
Go to Florida,
nice.
Texas here.
Yeah. Beautiful. Wonderful. So the next 2 years, as far as your schedule goes, it's not going to be very kind. But can you at least be competitive? That's the key. Be competitive, get better, develop as the season goes on, and fans will rally behind that. But you got to show some sort of progress for sure. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Alex is on the line. What's going on, Alex?
Yes. Why would we want a coach that would not have the confidence to be able to think he could outperform what Chad did?
I think you should want a coach that does that.
He doesn't have that much confidence in himself that he can't perform Chad from SMU. Well, then we don't need him anyway. I mean, that's not the kind of coach you want anyway.
No, you don't want the coach then anyway.
Where are you coming from here?
Chester.
No.
We're just saying, like, what did you think that we were saying that? That we were saying that the coach doesn't need that?
No, I just cleaned my bed up and turned the radio on. Turned on the computer and got you guys. I don't know what you talked about before this, other than just what I've heard the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, you're fine, Alex. No, so don't get us wrong. We are not saying that the coach whoever comes in here should definitely 100% need to have the confidence that not only they can do better than Chad Morris, but they can win at a high level at Arkansas. That's the type of coach you want.
Right.
What my thing is with this, this is who I want. I want Lane Kiffin. That's the type of guy I want.
Yeah.
A guy who's swag, relates to the young men like him. And I think in 3 years, we'd be 9-3 up there. 4 years, 10-2. And after that, the sky's the limit after Nick Saban's gone. And he's getting close to the edge. You could see it in his face after that loss to Auburn. Mm. He's not much longer.
Yeah.
Or I'm not talking about to live. I'm talking about just to coach.
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
And I just think that there's nothing there for Arkansas to. If you want to pay, you got. If you want to play with the big boys, you got to pay with the big boys.
Right.
More bargain basement, fire sales.
Right.
But anyway, thanks for that. Yeah. For your time.
Hey, appreciate it, Alex.
The best looking clothes aren't always on the clearance rack, So I get what you're saying.
I've always said that, Tommy.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying too. Like you always, as far as your confidence goes and your coach, you always want him to be competitive. You want to have that confidence in it. And other people want Lane Kiffin too. You're not the only one, Alex, that wants Lane Kiffin. And again, I think they can do a lot worse than Lane Kiffin, but I also think they can do a lot better than Lane Kiffin. It's just a matter of who you want to go along with.
Here's what you get with Lane Kiffin. You get a phenomenal play caller. We know that.
He's an offensive mind. I mean, the resume speaks for itself. And you know that you're also going to get a guy that can recruit. I mean, this is one of the few things that they can do is that they can he can recruit and he can put together a pretty good staff. But again, not saying that they have to hire him and that's the only way that it's going to be good, but just saying.
Well, I mean,
it can be a lot worse than that.
I mean, I'd be fine with a defensive minded head coach, but if you went with Leach or you went with Kiffin, you're going to get a great play call.
Mm-hmm. You think Kiffin is the worst they should do?
If he truly wants the job, if we really believe he is willing to say yes, then yeah, he shouldn't do any worse than him.
Yeah. I'm kind of at that point too.
I would say you should do no worse than Barry Lunning Jr. Until I know that Lane Kiffin would definitely say yes to a reasonable contract, then I can't say that you should do no worse than him.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely agree with that as well. All right, let's get into your Hog update here on The Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on The Morning Rush.
Right, it's time for your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Well, you probably already started that Christmas shopping, but if you haven't, why not go to one place where you can get it all done, and that's at the Ozarks. Choose from brands like Benelli, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Tika, Wilson Combat, Daniel Defense, and many more. Umgee, Drake, Carhartt, Columbia, Boutique Brands, New Balance, Twisted X, Ariat, many more with their clothing and footwear brands at the Ozarks. Plus, if you're looking for an indoor range, they've got the best in Arkansas. A recent $250,000 upgrade gives you charging and turning targets, onboard cameras, lights, and a whole lot more. In fact, over 22 available drills to choose from. It's entertainment at its best, and they have range memberships that make a perfect holiday gift. It's all at the Ozarks for a joyful and easy shopping experience. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Clothing and Footwear. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog update here on The Morning Rush, yesterday there was a lot of smoke about the coaching search. You had some former players, guys like Kevin Richardson, Trey Greenwald, tweeting out that, like, man, Arkansas got them a good one, but nothing came to fruition on it. Which, again, folks, you're being trolled. Like, yesterday was a complete troll job, and I respect it. I love it. It was fantastic. And so don't always believe what's going on, all right, when it comes to the social media and people tweeting that out. I am telling you right now, I'm not saying that I've been through a bunch of coaching searches, even though it feels like there's been a bunch of coaching searches going on.
I feel like
on.
I've been through a bunch.
But Tommy, when do we know who the coach is? When do we find out who the coach is? What needs to happen?
I think you got to get, if your targets are truly, if Lane Kiffin's truly your target, I think you got to get through championship weekend.
Mm-hmm. And then also I want to add to that, you know, when you know, when it's confirmed, when you have national media members tweeting out, when you got the local media from the school or wherever they're at, they're the ones that start figuring out, because what usually happens first in the whole process as far as it getting leaked out is that coach will tell his players, tell his coaches, tell the administration, whoever's involved, saying, I'm moving on. And then when that happens, the reports come from that end and boom, you have it here in Arkansas. That's how it's going to work out. It's not going to happen with plane tracking. It's not going to happen where on social media, some poster from Hogville is going to say, well, I got this guy who knows this guy who knew that. And then boom, there it is. That's not how it's going to happen.
Nope.
Every single time that we've had to go through a coaching search in Arkansas, it's happened the same way. And I don't see this being any different. I think Hunter Yurcheck is too smart of a guy, too cunning of a guy to just let it all be chalked up to plane tracking. And that's how it gets leaked out. He's interviewing people. He's got a few interviews to do this week. No decision has been made fully. Just telling you. Because if it had been, we'd know.
I think later this week, and again, if Lane Kiffin is the one they ultimately settle on, will he even be available till perhaps Sunday to do a second interview? I don't think they hire anyone without a second interview. And then you may have to come back, and maybe in that second interview you have a contract prepared, but you may have contracts aren't prepared by the AD. You got to go back and have general counsel put those together. Now they have boilerplate
memorandums of understanding, and they feel.
What was those words you just said?
Memorandum of understanding. You know, it's not the actual contract they'll sign, but it's a shorter document that here's what we're going to pay you, here's how it's going to be done, and a full, complete contract will be done at a later date. But here's the understanding we're going to agree upon, and then a contract will be done later. That's generally how a lot of these matters go down. They have boilerplate stuff they already have available to do that with.
So. Boilerplates and memorandums and what was it?
Yep.
All right.
Memorandum of understanding.
Ah, yeah, those. I've had a few of those last night.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in a finalist for the Arkansas Sports Writer of the Year Award, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, man, how do, man? It's good to be on with you guys.
Yeah, it's good to be on with you. And again, congratulations for being a finalist on the Arkansas Sports Writer of the Year Award.
Well, I appreciate that, man. So, I think there's a bunch of us, so we'll see.
Well, you're up against Bob Holt and Andrew Hutchinson, Jeremy. So, I know Bob's a good friend. Andrew's a good friend. I mean, you know, what do? You throw Bob down the stairs? Do you handle the young whippersnapper? How do you handle this?
Yeah, it's like that movie that just came out, Knives Out. I might be the last one standing when it's all said and done.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be good, Tom. Well, we got a lot of things we want to get into with you, man. Obviously, we're in the thick and heavy of the Razorback football coaching search. It would seem like there was so much smoke yesterday going on with a lot of former players tweeting out cryptic tweets, Hunter Yurecek having stuff. But there's no fire to it all. So what can you tell us about the latest in the coaching search? Do you have any information? Just what's going on right now?
Yeah, I'll get to that. But I got to tell you, John, I have to guess that yesterday was right in your wheelhouse, like a walk-off triple, man. It wasn't quite the grand slam, but it was a walk-off triple. The frivolity and hijinks that were going on social media yesterday for you.
Oh, man. I call it a feeding frenzy. I just like throw out the food and let it roll.
So, Tom, you were at the Springdale Airport Sunday night, right?
That's correct.
John Neighbors was the reason you had to be there, correct?
No. Thank you. There was some other intel. Well,
that's not the right answer.
Tommy's trying to blame me for all of it.
Let me ask the question again. John Neighbors was the reason you had to be there, right, Tom?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
And all his plane tracking.
Big J. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, yeah, you're the plane track guru, man. And I called him citizen journalist, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's what I try to do. So, but really, though, Tom, I do appreciate it. But what do you know about it? What's the latest, man?
Well, what happens on these things is there's some frenzies because, you know, there was definitive information that Lane Kiffin interviewed. So everybody thinks, well, it's just going to happen. And it seems to me it kind of goes this way with a lot of coaching searches. As soon as people hear that some person interviewed, then it's almost done or is done. It's only signing on the bottom line that has to take place. But no, I mean, they interviewed some more folks yesterday, from what I understand, talking to people, and at least one interview today. So I think we're a few days away from a definitive answer, but I don't think the names of guys they've talked to has strayed far from, like, the original list you saw. And I think there's a couple that may not have been, you know, right at the very top, you know, just some outside the box type guys, because that's the way Hunter Yurecek works. And that's why I asked him yesterday, Eric Musselman yesterday, what it's like to interview Hunter. And I think he has a way of having people at their ease, but also asking very pertinent questions and centering it around the student athletes. So I think we're a few days away, and they're doing their vetting process. And what happens is when something like yesterday flares up, then you know the search people, Hunter Yurecek, John Fagg, will get all kinds of feedback and input from the people who matter on what they think of Lane Kiffin. And so it's like putting your finger up in the air and, you know, testing the temperature of this particular candidate.
Well, Well, the same thing happened with Kelvin Sampson in the basketball coaching search, and then out of left field over here, we get Eric Musselman. Do you think Lane Kiffin will ultimately be the Kelvin Sampson of this search?
Well, that could happen that way. We don't know that, and but I think they're talking to some folks who, eventually, if they get hired, I think. Here's the thing: not any individual hire, I think, is going to be a 100% at the very beginning. That was my guy. And there's going to be a little disunity on that, but I also think that it's imperative for Arkansas fans, because of the hole the Razorbacks are in, to rally around whoever it is and give the guy a chance. I mean, this is a they're having to sell this program a little bit and all the resources and stuff behind it. And so, as Hunter Yurecek said, they know how important it is to nail this hire, because football is the engine that drives the athletic department.
So, Tom, what type of time frame are we looking at? And just in your opinion, it will be next week before we have a name? Could it be this weekend? What's the time frame here?
Yeah, I think it could be a few days. And let's just say, suppose that they settle on Lane Kiffin. Well, he's coaching the game on Saturday, and I don't think there's enough time left in this week to, you know, try to have a press conference, unless he doesn't coach the game. But I don't think that would be fair for, you know, his players at Florida Atlantic. So I think if Lane Kiffin's the guy they settle on, then I would like to think it'd be later in the weekend or early next week.
All right, real quick, also, Tom, I want to ask you this, because I got into some discussions yesterday about it. Ole Miss and Missouri, both jobs are open up at this point in time. Both of them, you could even say, were a little surprising. I don't believe that either job impacts Arkansas directly in this coaching search. What do you think?
I think it could. I mean, face it, man. When that fake news broke yesterday about Mike Leach hired Ole Miss, I thought, ooh. I think he's a guy who would bring instant credibility, and quarterbacks and receivers. This is like a Barry Switzer talk here. Quarterbacks and receivers would basically come to you. They know what Mike Leach has done. And I think he'd put up a very nice offensive product starting next year. So he's hired guys like Alex Grinch to be his defensive coordinator, guys who get it, man, who know how to coach defense. And so I think you could do a lot worse than Mike Leach. And who knows, man? He was about to step into this league in Tennessee. Why wouldn't Ole Miss or Missouri go after him?
Should certainly be interesting of what the coaching carousel is going to happen in this conference, and we'll know. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll discuss it more with you on Thursday, Tom. Always appreciate you joining us, man. We'll see you on Thursday. All right.
Oh yeah, sounds outstanding. See you.
All right, appreciate it. It was Tom Murphy, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. All guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Tommy, how many times have you heard, I'm trying to remember how to phrase this. How many times have you heard, I guess, in the past few days that either I know a guy, or this is what I'm hearing, or it just seems like everybody's got somebody that knows somebody that did somebody.
People with sources.
Yeah. Because I don't think any of us have sources. Like, I'd like to pretend that I could sit here and I'm like, I got all these insiders. No, I don't. I don't have any insiders. And I'm okay with that. Because there's nothing, I guess, more demoralizing than you go all in on something, some big story, and then he makes it look like an idiot because it's all false.
I'm just staying in my lane over here.
Are you in the left lane with Lane Kiffin?
I'm on the shoulder.
Is that what you're trying to say, Tommy? Is it trying to be cryptic too? You're staying in your lane, as in Lane Kiffin.
I just don't think here's my point, I guess, or here's my thinking. Here's my logic. Hunter Yurecek's been on the job almost 2 years now.
Yeah, seems like it. Yeah,
he was hired early December, so
2017. Yeah,
right at 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you know that know him well, particularly in the media?
Oh, not
how
so.
Many friends do you know of Hunter Yurecek?
None. I don't think he has friends.
I mean, I just don't know enough people. Now, I don't live in Fayetteville, but I know a lot of media that do. I just don't know many people that have developed a deep relationship with him. You know, Jeff Long just had a different way of going about it. You know, I had a different working relationship with Jeff Long than I do Hunter Yurecek. Just did.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff Long was here 10 years. You know, that developed over time. I just don't think people know Hunter Yurecek well enough to have sources, or I don't think Hunter Yurecek has developed enough of a network outside of the athletic department for people to know.
Mm-mm.
I don't think Hunter Yurecek has people he's telling. So people that say they have sources, what sources? I just don't think there's leaks. I just don't think there's leaks because I don't think Hunter Yurecek has people to tell.
And there wasn't leaks for Eric Musselman.
Just my opinion.
No, I mean, there was no leaks for Musselman. So
I mean, I just, his relative length on the job, short length on the job, I just don't think there's a lot of people that have developed close relationships with him at this point.
No, I don't either. And that's why, people who say they have sources and stuff, don't believe it, folks.
You're getting more than I do because, you've got twice as many followers on Twitter as I do. And, you're closer to college age kids and stuff. I mean, but you've got people up there tweeting at you that, hey, I know a player on the team or I am a former player. Or I am this. And they have told us. No, they haven't. That's not the way the process works. I'm just trying to use my common sense and logic by going through like 5 football coaching searches in the last while doing this. Mm-hmm. That I know how this kind of works.
Yeah.
They're not coming in and doing a straw poll with the football team. They're not asking the senior captains, hey, what do you think about Lane Kiffin? They're not going to.
That's not happening.
That's not happening. The new coach will meet with the team after he's been introduced in a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
The team may be sitting in the first few rows of that press conference. That may happen too, or some of the team, probably not all of the team.
Mm-hmm.
That may or may not occur. But this idea that, because you've had several, I've had none, players and people that claim to be former players or whatever, tell you, we know. I mean, mm-hmm. They've told us it's Kiffin. Well,
no, you don't.
No, you don't either.
And if they did, they're lying to you.
Yeah.
Or else it would be out.
Who's
there.
Told you?
Yeah.
And see,
Hunter Yurecek call you up saying, hey, by the way.
I don't trust anything or anybody at this point. So I'm just kind of silent on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a lot of self-serving misinformation out there right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not going to put myself out there.
Mm-mm. And again,
To be double wrong.
Yeah, and if you, I'll
give you my opinion, but I'm not going to tell you I know because I don't know.
Right, and
anyone just, that says I know, well, okay,
yeah,
I know what my opinion is. That's all I can tell you.
Listen, we're all out here just waiting, and like I am, I'm having fun with it. I'm having fun with the whole craziness. It's a trip. Yeah. It's entertaining. It's fun.
I just know that and
but I don't know anything. Listen,
Hunter being on the job 2 years and not having the network of people that where the information can leak out, that's my opinion
mm-hmm.
of just reading the situation. You may agree with that or not agree with that, but that's my read on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's, from where I sit, I don't think there's a lot of leaks because of his brevity on this job in relative terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm in the same boat with you. That's for sure. All right, let's go ahead and get into some dubs and scrubs here on the Morning Rush.
Some people were born to get dubs.
I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word. And I'll whoop any man in the world. And I want everybody out there on TV to know it. I am the greatest.
Others were born to be scrubs.
These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year.
Don't listen to him, Hank. He's a loser.
Good thing we get to decide who gets dubs and who's the scrubs on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for Dubs and Scrubs, brought to you by Brent Higgins Trucking.
Hey, if you have experience transporting frozen and refrigerated goods and you want to be a part of a trucking family with insurance and be home every week, you need to contact Brent Higgins Trucking. They've been in business for more than 20 years. They're located in Mulberry, but they proudly deliver to and from various areas of the United States, including but not limited to Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. They're looking for team members all over the Morning Rush listing area where you can be a name, not just a number. So call Brent today, 479-997-2366. That's 997-2366, or apply online at BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
Should we do dubs or scrubs first? Should we go with happiness or crapping on somebody? How should we do this?
It's up to you.
Yeah, well, all
Your
right.
Call. You've been tracking planes.
Well, I tell you what. Last week we started off with the scrubs, so this time let's start with the dubs. Let's go with the more of the positive side of things, no matter what. I guess You know, when I was thinking about it yesterday, and you know, obviously with all the stuff going on with the coaching search, sometimes you can kind of get kind of blinded with it all. But my dub goes to Hunter Yurecek because of the cryptic tweet he sent out yesterday of just putting out like hashtag Hog1 and had a stealth bomber with a Razorback on it where it connected and then flew off. I mean, that was just fantastic. And I felt like as an athletic director, you know, you always like to have your AD show a little sense of humor in the whole thing because it is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This coaching search is ridiculous.
His Twitter game's improving. Jeff Long had a really strong Twitter game, and Hunter Yurecek has been different. And I'd say it's improving. The sarcasm's starting to inject itself.
Yeah. I mean, he's over here just, you know, having a good time with it all. And what I'm hoping is that by him putting out those cryptic tweets, he's pretty comfortable, pretty confident in the situation. Feels good about the process and how it's going so far. But the fact that he went out there and tweeted that out, I loved it because it could have meant anything. That's what was so great about it. Did it mean that it's all coming together? Did it mean that he's being stealthy because it's a stealth bomber? Did he mean that
he's under the radar?
He's got the coach on the plane right now. I mean, is he under the radar?
Is he flying under the radar?
Yeah. I mean, it could have been anything. So it was awesome to see, and I'm glad that he's kind of embracing the ridiculousness of it all because, again, coaching search, especially in Arkansas, is ridiculous. So my dub goes to Hunter Yurecek having a good sense of humor of it all.
My dub goes to John Neighbors.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Where's the sarcasm? Where is the big setup of, like, insulting me here?
None.
This is not this game. None. Stand.
There's no sarcasm here. Because,
okay, let me sit back.
Yeah. This flight tracking and all of this was completely your deal, your idea, and you ran with it. And some people wanted to completely go off the deep end with it. And you made it entertaining. And you went over the top with it, which made it even more entertaining. And some of these people that starch their underwear in the media,
plane cracking, you know, these people that just think they know and they're cracking planes. And these people that are, you know, taking
veiled
shots at you. Come on, get over yourself. John's just having fun over here.
Exactly.
And I was interested. So I clicked on it. You've gained like, what, 1,000 Twitter followers?
No, I've gained over 3,000 followers in the past 36 hours. I'm up to 10,350.
Because you were like 8,000. I thought you were like 8,000 or something.
No, I was a little, I guess 2,500 roughly is what I've been.
So. I mean, so good for you.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm proud of what you did. You made it entertaining. And it didn't hurt anything. No. It didn't harm me. You didn't put out bad information that harmed anything.
Yeah, that I said
derailed
that
the search.
Lane Kiffin's the guy,
or gave the audience online a reason to believe something that wasn't true. So, but it kept people engaged, and you had people nationally kind of looking into stuff that I just thought it was fun. And it was good to watch from afar. And so my dub goes to you.
Well, thank you, Tommy.
You know, all you media people out there want to starch your underwear, just get over yourself.
Starch your underwear. That's a good one. Well, I will say, Tommy, that I'm going to forget the Arkansas Broadcaster of the Year award. That right there is the real award Tommy Kraft put me in his dub.
Well, listen, we do this for fun.
Yeah, that's all it is, man. It's fun.
And the millions of dollars we make
to host
a radio show.
Of course,
We could retire tomorrow if we wanted. But, you know, that being said, we do this for the passion. I mean, this is one of the fun times to do this job. There are times where this job can be mundane and routine, and you have to go through a dadgum two-wins football season again, and it can be hard to deal with. The coaching searches, and when you, the people out there, are really locked in, this is when we want to be behind the microphone.
Oh, yeah. This is prime time, baby.
This is prime time, and I thought what you did Sunday particularly just made it more fun to do this job.
Yeah. And that's all I want to do. And that's because, again, if you have followed me on social media, or if you've listened to this show especially, you should know by this point that I do not take myself very seriously.
Nor
should I. Or anything I say or anything like that. This is all just for fun. I have fun with my job. I am very fortunate to have this job, but I have fun with it. And I like to make it the most entertaining I possibly can. So that's all what it's all about. It's just having a good time with it, letting everybody know that it's not too serious. Because, again, at the end of the day, when her and your chick makes that decision,
hey,
and not a single iota of the impact of that decision is going to be made because of what I said on Twitter about flight tracking.
Sometimes we just need to entertain ourselves.
Yes. Sometimes, because, you know, folks,
we sat in here 15 hours a week, 3 hours a day, and made the most of a 2-win football season. Give us a little credit.
Yeah.
But we want to, you know, John wants to track some planes. Just give him some leeway here.
That's right. And my team has done a fantastic job of
tracking. I guess off the air, I'm going to have to inquire who your team is.
Yeah.
I don't think you have a team.
No, I have a team. I have a team. You think I'm capable of doing this?
I think he makes all this up.
I think it's just for show.
I think it's fictional writing.
You're giving me way too much credit.
That's why you're my dub this week. I think you have created all this with fictional writing, and it's fantastic. You should be the Arkansas Broadcaster of the Year based on this.
I know, and it's a shame that
no
the voting
longer should
was
you be on the watch list. Yeah, you were a week late.
A week late. You know, it's kind of like the what they used to do when they would give the national championship to the college football team before the bowl game. Yep, that's what I kind of feel like.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my bowl game.
It's like the 1960s all
and
over
I disagree
again.
With the guy on Twitter. I don't think you're riding Tommy's coattails.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think you're paving away yourself.
You think I have my own coattails?
Yeah, I want to get on your coattails.
I think he's trying to catch my coattails.
Yeah, I got to find your coattails. Yeah. But that's
he's the thing. On the tassels of my coattails.
There you go.
Trying to catch the tassels on my coattails.
But listen, it's all in fun. And just to let you know, guys, everybody out there listening, I'm going to have more information today on plane tracking.
You're sending your guys out?
I already have tweets coming in right now if you guys need an update.
Can we get a report on the vending machine food at the Springdale Airport? That's what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you need to really get to the heavy hitting information. Yeah. But here, I tell you what, here's a little sample. Here's a little freebie for you. The LJ-45 Ghost is heading northeast out of the Springdale Airport. Right now, it is flying over Springfield as we speak.
All right.
Stand by. I will have more information as it comes
you
along.
You haven't had one plane coming out of Drake yet.
Nope. Which, again, makes it funny that people actually think that it's like...
That's the logical part that I can't figure out. Well, the university planes are kept at Drake.
Yeah. Oh, new development. It's heading to Rochester. So,
which Rochester? New York or Minnesota?
No, just right now, it just says Rochester.
Oh.
I would say New York.
Someone going to Mayo Clinic?
I think it's going to Rochester, New York.
Maybe they're trying to find a cure for these mumps up there.
Yeah, that may be what it is. So, it's all in fun, folks. That's for sure. All right, going on to the scrub. I know we kind of got on our dub, but going on to the scrub. My scrub is an easy one. Elijah Moore from, I know we've talked about it, and this happened almost a week ago, but with the holiday, it's all been up there. But he's my scrub, the Ole Miss wide receiver that, of course, lifted his leg. And in celebration, ended up costing Ole Miss the game, ended up costing
Matt Luke his job.
Yeah. And all of that. And the reason he's my scrub is because it was funny, but it was a selfish act by a player. And because of that selfish act, look at the impact it had. I don't think that he saw it that way or he thought that I'm going to do this and I'm going to get my coach fired or anything like that. But it is certainly one of those things that you have to look back on and say, this is why it's so important to have discipline. And this is why it's so important to make sure that in college football in general, one play, one mistake, one decision can have an impact that goes so much further than what you even realize.
Think about this. 500 people will probably have to find new homes. And what I mean is probably 100 people within the athletic department at Ole Miss that will get fired. Coaches, you know, whatever, support staff, all that will move on with Matt Luke or just be out of jobs. Their families. So there's a couple hundred people. Then the new staff, whoever the coach brings in, all his family. So there's 300-400 people minimum that are going to have to find new places to live as a result of a guy acting like a dog peeing.
Mm-hmm. That one act. And that's what I'm just saying. It's crazy.
Why isn't the kicker getting blamed for missing the kick? If he'd have made the kick, no one cares. Well, you may be right.
True. But, you know.
But the kicker should have been put in that spot.
Yeah, you don't need to make it worse on him. You don't need to put cinder blocks on him to try to kick a field goal. But that's what you did. You handcuffed him a little bit to make a tougher kick. So he's definitely my scrub because, again, not to just single him out because I think it happens a lot in college football, but just one bad mistake, especially something like that. It'd be one thing if it happened on the field and you just dropped a pass. But to do that, if you didn't have to do it, I mean, it just would have made all the difference in the world.
Is Joe Moorhead out at Mississippi State if they lose that game?
Yes, I think so, because then they lose to a because Ole Miss was not a good team this year, and they would have lost to a 5-7 Ole Miss team at home. So, yeah. It's another impact, too.
Yeah.
Could have changed everything. So
that guy keeps his job, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Luke, who had gotten a vote of confidence leading up to the game, gets fired by an AD who had been on the job a week or whatever.
Yeah.
10 days.
Yeah. Ole Miss better make sure they get this one right,
too. I don't think the AD made – I mean, I think he was sitting – hey, go in there and fire that guy.
It was a long time coming, though. I think it's a mess over there.
Well, he hadn't been there that long.
So no, but I'm just saying a long time coming is in, like, this wasn't a snap decision made against Mississippi State, that they weren't going to fire him at all, but then that game happened, and they decided to fire him. I think it was the final nail in the coffin for him, though.
But they'd just given him a vote of confidence.
Oh, I know.
Keith Carter had.
That makes me wonder, was it, because if they made a snap rational or irrational decision like that, an emotional decision.
I think they were embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, I think that was a big part, because that was pretty embarrassing.
And the backlash and... I mean, every radio station in the South talking about you.
For all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. I think that is just, I don't want to say it's an overreaction. It was just a reaction to what happened.
Yeah. I'm with you. We got a few minutes left. What's
right.
your scrub?
Well, I was going to say all the people that were overreacting to your plane tracking. We kind of covered that already. Yeah. So I'm going to go back to something we talked about yesterday, and that's Nick Saban. Claiming it was unfair.
Oh, yeah.
And the officiating being unfair. Hey, listen, I have a lot of respect for Saban because he's earned it. But, dude, I mean, to say the officiating was unfair to Alabama, are you kidding me? Has anyone gotten more breaks and earned more breaks than Alabama over the last decade?
No.
And you want to say it was unfair? What was unfair about it? It was all by the rules. Did anything that Gus Malzahn did by putting the punter at wideout violate a rule? He just outsmarted you, man. He outfoxed the fox. You got outcoached.
And that does not happen often, but he did.
And you forgot to get your punt returner who was deep off the field. And give credit to the officials for not missing it.
Neat.
I mean, that's why you have three officials counting the defensive players.
12 men on the field is not a judgment call.
No, and you can't miss that. That's one of those that, like, it's a complete controllable. Yep. You can control how many players. I mean, you can control counting the players. So that was, you know, him saying that was unfair just is complete scrub for me.
Makes it laughable, too, to me.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, Nick Saban, of all people, says that they got some sort of unfair advantage or anything like that. I think he's only got 2 years left. Throwing it out there. Make it happen.
He's got to win one more title, though. I think it comes next year.
He might.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
All right, I have a little plane tracking update for you. The Board of Trustees plane that took off from Northwest Arkansas is about to land in Little Rock as we speak. Could be about to put somebody on a Stevens plane because they have a whole hangar there. So stay tuned. Does that do anything for you? Probably not, no. I got to give updates. People want the updates.
A Board of Trustees? I didn't know the Board of Trustees had a plane.
I think it's just
a foundation plane. Or is it a university plane? I don't know.
I have to double check on that. It's the foundation. It's the foundation, right. Not the Board of Trustees. My information that I was given, I have to get on my team member for giving me false information. Fake news, if you will. So, but yes, right. It is the foundation plane that has been flying down to LIT, so down to Little Rock. But so there's your update on that one. Where's your plane at?
My plane?
Yeah.
It's in the hangar.
Mm. Not gonna
Known
bring
as
it out.
A garage.
Very fancy garage.
Yeah.
Well.
Double garage.
Yeah, because, you know, you like to fly to, or if you, I guess if you really did have
that
a
That would be, if I ever hit it big, that would be one thing I'd splurge on.
No. That's one thing you've always talked about is you getting a plane and getting your pilot's license.
I would love to do that. I mean, just if nothing else, I could take off and go fish for the afternoon and come back, you know.
That wouldn't be the one thing I would do if I had a plane, but I trust you and respect you enough to know.
You want to go have dinner in St. Louis today, just go do it, you know.
But see, I fear that when I was, if I was ever at that point, I'd be the laziest person ever because I'd be like, I'd fly from Fort Smith to Fayetteville 100%. Like if I was a Razorback basketball game, I would spend the money on the jet fuel just to fly from Fort Smith to Fayetteville.
There's a difference between having a jet and a plane, though.
Okay.
Well, a common man can have a plane. A rich person has a jet.
Well, which one would you want?
Well, I don't know if I'll ever be rich enough to have a jet.
If you were.
Well, if you're rich enough, if money is no object, I mean, you have millions.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever get to a point of having, you know, just millions in disposable. You want a jet. It's faster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a common person that could have a plane. Planes are attainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one with a prop. Not one like in Major League where they're putting duct tape on the on it, but, you know.
Yeah, prop planes. Yeah.
Single-engine plane. They're doable.
Yeah. Which, are, by the way, also, since that was brought up, for those of you who are trying to help with the plane tracking and you send me screenshots and all that one, I appreciate it. I really do. But, folks, they're not going to be bringing in the new coach on a prop plane.
Nope. Or a crop duster. No, it will be.
Because I've had people screenshot.
It will be a jet.
I've had people screenshot the plane tracking app and be like, oh, what about this one? Have you seen this? And it's like going down to like a plane that's taken off from somewhere in Arkansas, from Harrison or whatnot, going down. And I'm like, it's a prop plane.
Nope.
They're not going to be going around on a prop plane with the coaching search. Nice try, though. Nice try.
Maybe a jet prop, though. So
what's the difference?
I mean, there are turboprop jets.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think you guys are looking in the wrong places, though. You're looking at planes, but you're thinking of airplanes. When you start looking at flat areas of land, I think that's where we're going to find the next coach
through a train.
No, planes.
No, that's what I'm saying. But like a train traveling on the plane.
Yes, there you go.
Because people have told me.
They keep it moving.
Because that was what people were saying. They're like, well, what if they're, and this is, I'm not kidding. People were wondering if they were to, because all the plane trackers like myself are out there trying to be on their scent. Some of them were saying that they might usher in the new coach via train.
We need train trackers.
Train trackers. That's not a joke. Like that was, people actually said that. They will not hire and bring in the new coach on a train. This is not the late 1800s.
They're not hiring Hugo Best. Yeah,
steam engine.
Yes, they're not. Yeah, they're not putting him on a steam engine. They're not heading to Hogwarts. Like there's no train. So, but again, this just goes into the nonsense and the insanity of this whole coaching search and how much I love it.
You started all this.
I'm appreciated. I did start. Okay, I won't say I started all of it, but I have certainly poured gasoline on it all. I'm dancing in a pool of gasoline with matches, just waiting for it to just explode. But Taz and Flippin text in. He says, when John starts talking about all this plane tracking, all I can think about is a kid on his iPad tracking Santa Claus. It's like, it's kind of the similar thing.
Kind of.
Pretty sure they use the same technology. That's on there. But and Bradford and Van Buren says, how do you track the planes? Well, let me tell you.
You just look up at the sky and you
you just see a point to them and try to use your binoculars and see what the tail number is. No, you want to know I track planes? You want to know, Bradford? I don't track planes.
Your people do.
My people do. I am the Steve Jobs of plane tracking. I delegate. I tell you what I want to know and what I need, and they deliver it to me, and I convey the message to all of you.
You're just the coordinator.
Exactly.
You take all the credit.
I take all the credit.
Well, there's apps out there for this.
Oh, yeah. There's
an app for it.
But the big key is you have to know how to read the app and what you're looking for in the app. That's the key. So I don't know how to do it. I just trust my guys to do it. And when they send me screenshots, I'm like, that looks good. That makes sense. So I'll go along with that. So that's how I do the plane tracking as well. But once again, folks, in case you're just joining us, because I know this has been a topic and you know people have gotten after me on Twitter, it's all in fun. It's all in fun. No coach is going to be coming in today on a, like if it's Lane Kiffin, he's not coming in today on a flight that's being tracked from Boca Raton.
On a prop plane with an open cockpit with goggles on and a leather World War II hat on.
Yes, exactly.
Fighter pilot's hat. That's a scarf around his throat.
Yeah. With like a gunner in the background. Yes. Like it's doing all that.
That's how it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's not happening, folks. This is just.
Do you think they'd announce it like at 9:05 today, right? As we
that's
go
exactly
the
how this is going to go down.
100%.
When it happens, the release will come out at 9:01.
Yep.
Just
to spite the morning rush. Well, you know what happens
if you know what we're going to do? Okay. You know what we're going to do when that happens? We're going to go back on the air.
There you go.
I better get overtime for that.
No, you're not getting any overtime.
Well, I mean, it's
part of being on salary.
So that's why you put me on salary.
Yep.
Well, no, that's
shaft on that deal.
No, but that's I actually thought about that, Matty T. I was like, if this announced this, and what would be the worst thing is it gets announced on Friday at 9:05. to where it's like, you have to, it's like, I know that's going to happen, and I'm just waiting for it. But no, I agree with Tommy. We will make an executive decision to, we will have, I'm sorry, folks. I know it's going to kill you inside, but we will have to go in and interrupt the Dan Le Batard show.
Oh, no.
I know. It's going to kill you.
But, and Stugatz?
And Stugatz. We're just going to have to bear through it.
They're so hilarious, though.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so that will for sure happen on that. So just be looking out for that. We have a few people that have been messaging. David comes on our Facebook live stream and says he loves us, but he wants to know when we're going to be on the airwaves in Memphis. Yeah, Tommy. When we're going to be on the airwaves in Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee?
Yeah, the big one, big Memphis.
Whenever they invite us, we're available.
Maybe we can broadcast from a Jerry Lawler's place.
Yeah. What's the place that Elvis grew up in?
Graceland, dude.
Yeah. It took me a while.
He had a couple of planes. You could, the Lisa Marie.
Yeah, I could borrow them, though. But no, we don't know when we're going to be on in Memphis, but we'll work on it.
We'd love to be.
Yeah, we would totally take that. I don't know if there's a big, good size Razorback fan base, I think, in Memphis.
Absolutely.
That'd be
absolutely
interested in doing that. So, anyways, we have a few other text messages coming in via the Cherokee Casino hotline. This one comes from Mitchell in Fort Smith. He says, do y'all know what has some people so excited about Lane Kiffin possibly coming here? He had one good year at USC and a pretty good record in Conference USA. Sorry if I'm a little late to the party, but what is the draw of Lane Kiffin? And, you know, that's actually a good question, because if you do look at his actual results as a head coach at the schools he was at, there's nothing really overwhelming or just like a wow factor. He was at Oakland. His first head coaching job was at Oakland. That was a disaster. He was at Tennessee for 1 year where they went 6-6 in the regular season and ended up being kind of a weird, as far as the aftermath of them all, being a disaster once he left. He goes to USC, which USC is one of those jobs I don't know how you don't win at, like if you're a good coach. He does have a good year, but he also had sanctions. He had scholarship reductions. He had a lot of things going against him. Not making excuses, just saying it's the reality. So,
did they beat Alabama or nearly beat Alabama?
They nearly beat Alabama. Yeah. That's when they blocked the field goal.
Terrence Cody.
That's right. 12-10, blocked the field
Mountain
goal.
Mountain Cody blocked the field. That's right.
Could you imagine if that would have happened? You know how?
Changed for everything.
Yeah. And, I mean, that seems like it was ages ago, but that was the time when he was at Tennessee, too. So, as far as, head coaching gig, he's done a great job at FAU. Obviously, they got the championship game coming up. So, I think people are drawn to Lane Kiffin, not just because of his lack of success as a head coach. I don't think that's what it is. But the Alabama angle, I think, really interests people. He's a coordinator at Alabama under Nick Saban. He's a good recruiter. He's a good offensive mind. And we know what he was able to do at USC as an offense, too. So, could he bring in the players at Arkansas is the question.
Percentage chance, 0 to 100, Lane Kiffin ends up being the head coach at Arkansas.
Ooh. Percentage. I always say 30.
Wow. I was going to say a third.
I was going to go low on it.
I was going to say 33%. I still believe he is the Kelvin Sampson in this search.
No.
Meaning everybody was just certain, as soon as Houston's done in the tournament,
he's going to be the guy.
As soon as their season's over, he'll be the head hog. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't happen.
Yeah. I think it's all just trolling. I think if you know Lane Kiffin, he likes to troll a little bit. I think it's all smokescreen. There's way too much smoke to this for it to be real.
They call that a red herring.
And yes. He's got another game to play this weekend. Arkansas needs a coach, and if all things are equal, you take the coach available today. You got to get to recruiting. You got to get. I mean, you know, you're 15 days from the early signing period. So.
Got to get cracking.
I think it's less than 50% he's the coach.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, too. I think this is all just a smokescreen, but, you know, hey, we've been wrong before, but just know that nobody knows anything. Don't trust any posters on social media or any message boards or anything like that. No one knows anything. Just let the process draw itself out. It's been a Toyota Tuesday here on the Morning Rush. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. Of course, today is going to be more plane tracking, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure that I will not make anyone mad or upset, and I'm sure that they will not buy hook, line, and sinker into all the plane tracking, but it's going to be a lot of fun, folks, so just enjoy the coaching search. as much as possible. For Tommy Kraft and Matty T, I am John Neighbors. Same sports show, same sports channel tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everybody. We will see you then.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.